from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Todd Starnes Radio Show listening audience, I want to get something out of the way right away. And this is, well, it's just vitally important for us to have this little conversation before we delve into the big issues of the day. Today is April 1st, April Fool's Day. And I am telling you, I forgot about that, and I woke up this morning, and Dylan, you don't know how many times I almost panicked as I'm reading through the Twitter feeds, the X feeds, but I forgot it's April Fool's Day, so here on this program for the next 3 hours, we're not going to be yanking your chain, we're not going to be pulling your leg, we're going to give you everything right down the middle, ladies and gentlemen, as best we can. Because there is so much stuff going on around Dylan. So last night, the White House announced President Trump is addressing the nation on a matter of utmost importance. And that's happening at 9 o'clock Eastern. You'll be able to listen to that on your local radio station. Then we got word that the Australian Prime Minister was going to hold a major national address, and the British Prime Minister was going to hold a national address. And Dylan, I can't tell you, there must have been millions of people next saying, the aliens, they're going to announce the invasion. We have people that are not earthlings living among us.
Von home, E.T.?
No, people really thought that. And then you've got, disgraced Congressman Matt Gaetz. Apparently, Americans have been procreating with the alien people. So now we have, human hybrids out there. I just want to know who they are. I have a running list, many of them I believe to be in Hollywood, and one may in fact be a senator from South Carolina, who a grown man who likes to wander around Disney World, possibly. So I'm just wondering, who are those people? Who are the offspring of the alien species? So I don't think that's it, people. So I think you can breathe easy, but I'm telling you, people are really getting like riled up over this, and there's a lot of anxiety out there about what the president is going to say tonight. We know that it's going to be something about an Iran update. Reached out to the White House, and they're keeping the cards close to the vest on this. So, what was it? Alex Jones is saying that Trump is done. That he's not the guy he used to be. We're going to play this audio a little bit later. It's insane. But it seems as though MAGA world, the big influencers of MAGA world, and look, let's get real. There are a lot of grifters that have jumped on to, the MAGA agenda. And that's really not it. And they don't believe what you and I believe, even though they may profess to. And I think that's ultimately what we're beginning to see I'm calling it the great unveiling, because a lot of these people, much like the aliens who use, I don't know, human skin to disguise themselves, allegedly, that's exactly what these grifters have been doing for many, many years, going all the way back to 2016. And it's easy to forget that many of these people hated Donald Trump. They despised Donald Trump. But you know what? When Donald Trump won, all of a sudden, they threw themselves at his feet. And the reason why is they wanted access to power. They wanted access to the money. They wanted access to the celebrity. And here are a couple of warning signs about all of that. We had Franklin Graham on the show yesterday. And I love Franklin Graham. He's a good man. I remember when the word leaked out about my contract not being renewed at Fox, there were two people that called me just to see how I was doing. One of them was Jerry Falwell Jr., and the other was Franklin Graham. Right away, those were the very first calls I got, and it surprised me. It was no strings attached phone calls saying, how can I help you? What can I do? And, of course, we had already had a plan in place. But, man, that meant the world to me because that told me those guys were the real deal. You know, they never mentioned in public that they had made a phone call to me. And so when I saw the post from President Trump about Franklin Graham and, you know, President Trump's out there. And, again, I've had conversations with the president about this particular matter, and I'm not going to divulge it. But the president shared a private letter that Franklin had written to him about the state of his soul and where, you know, this idea that the president wasn't quite sure where he was going to be spending eternity. And, you know, Franklin Graham didn't know. Is that a joke, Mr. President? Were you just being, some good-natured humor, or are you serious about that? And if you are having doubts, and Franklin sort of laid it out in this letter that President Trump shared. You know what I respect most about that is that we never would have known that letter had been written had it not been for President Trump sharing it, because Franklin Graham never mentioned it, and he never would have, because it was a private, personal matter. Franklin Graham is the real deal. You know who I have a problem with? All of these preachers, and you know who I'm talking about, and they just rush to the White House so, you know, they can, you know, publicly say that they counseled and gave spiritual counsel to President Trump, and they held a worship service in the Oval Office, and, you know, they spoke in tongues, you know, over President Trump and all this kind of, and I'm not saying any of that is wrong. I'm just really questioning their motives. That's what I'm doing. Because you know what? It's all about you, and it's not about the President of the United States at that point. Right? By the way, look at all those folks that are going down to Mar-a-Lago, the business people and the wannabe business people, the grifters trying to get into Mar-a-Lago. So there's a whole lot of that happening, and I'm trying to get around to the point here because we have so much ground to cover today. But point number one, ladies and gentlemen, is that Donald Trump is still the same man that he was when he came down that golden escalator to announce that he was running for president the first time around. Donald Trump is the same guy who back in the 1970s and 80s said that we need to go after Iran. That is the same Donald Trump that we have in office today. His views have not deviated one iota. So all of these people now, the grifter crowd, the reason why they're breaking from Donald Trump is they believe that Trump is losing some sort of status in America. And so they're trying to bolt. They believe that they're not going to be able to grift at the same levels anymore. So that's why they're beginning to bolt, and they're beginning to show their true colors. And it's really despicable, and I have no problem talking about this, because just like President Trump, our positions have never changed. And I truly do believe that we must have a secure border, and I also believe that every single illegal alien in this country must go back to their home country and apply to come to this nation the right way. That position has never changed and has never wavered, period. When President Trump, and he's at the Supreme Court this morning, and the president is watching the arguments over birthright citizenship, the fact of the matter is, and the Solicitor General made an excellent point today when he said, ultimately, do you realize that under the interpretation of the Democrats, 8 billion people in the world, 8 billion people could book an airline flight and they could have a baby on American soil and they would be an American citizen. And that's got to stop. That's not what our founding fathers intended. So we'll play some audio from the Supreme Court. There's some really riveting stuff going on there. But again, going back to President Trump and what's happening in Iran and the address tonight, and a lot of people are freaked out about this. Well, I knew it. MTG, no boots on the ground. You know, folks, can we all just take a deep breath here? Donald Trump has not gotten us into a forever war, and Donald Trump is not a war hawk by any stretch of the imagination. Donald Trump is looking out for what is best for America, period. That's when he wakes up in the morning after 2 hours of sleep, and he sits down for breakfast. The most important question of the day for him is this good for America? And the president made the determination that a radioactive nuclear cloud, a mushroom cloud over Chicago or Des Moines or Nashville would not be in the best interest of the nation. So the president said, we're going to put a stop to this. And that's what's happening in Iran right now. Now, look, do I believe, am I concerned about that? Well, of course, who would not be concerned? Because we all know what happened in Afghanistan. We all know what happened in Iraq. But there's one big difference. The difference is that Donald J. Trump is in the Oval Office right now. And Donald Trump has made the determination. He's done the calculations. And he's determined that this is what needed to happen. And I'm willing to give the man the benefit of the doubt. You say, well, what about all the boots on the ground, the thousands of soldiers and Marines that are being pre-positioned in the Middle East? What about it? What about it? I'm willing to say this. I don't believe, and I may be wrong about this, but I don't believe we're going to see boots on the ground. But the Iranians don't know that. Nobody knows what Trump is going to do right now, and that is the strategy. That's the whole point. I mean, you had previous presidents who got out there and literally said, all right, Iran, if you don't do this by this date, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and then we're going to leave. No, well, that is such a losing strategy. So now you have everybody in the world on edge. And you know why they're on edge? Because they don't know what Donald Trump's going to do. And that's the exact kind of leader we need in the White House right now. And all of these grifters, all of these folks like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and Candace Owens and Alex Jones, everybody out there, oh, he's going to get, we're going to lose thousands of our fighting men and women. No, well, I don't think we are. Because ultimately, Donald Trump wants Iran and all the rest of the world to see that we are willing to do what needs to be done, no matter the cost. We can't do that if our fighting men and women are still on military bases in the United States. We are demonstrating a massive show of force, not only to Iran, but to the rest of the world, that we will protect American interest, no matter what. And I love the president for that. So, you know, maybe instead of all these people panicking on social media, maybe they should just step back and we get it. We've heard your opinions. Just step back and watch what President Trump does. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I mean, the polling data has not changed at all, ladies and gentlemen. An overwhelming number of Americans support what the president is doing here. And I think one of the reasons why the younger people, and I'm talking about millennials and Gen Zers, why they are not on board is because they simply have not been taught the history. They are not paying attention to what Iran has done to this nation. So, look, we're going to get into all of that. We're going to be taking your calls. If you agree or disagree, give me a holler, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Hey, everybody. Todd Stearns here, and I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already, and at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing, and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Starnes. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Starnes, you're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Starnes or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900 and say Starnes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And again, all of you folks that are concerned about Donald Trump, oh, he's off his rocker. He's starting to lose it mentally. I mean, that's what Alex Jones is saying. Folks, take a deep, deep breath. We want the rest of the world to think President Trump is crazy, because with that, we take the upper hand. We want people wondering what this guy is going to do next. But ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump has delivered on every single thing that he has promised to us. He has not done anything that is remotely problematic, in my estimation. Now, if we put boots on the ground in Iran, well, I'm going to have a conversation about that if and when that happens. But again, right now, the Iranians, all they need to know is they're getting their butts blown to smithereens, and you've got about, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000, who knows how many troops, waiting on ships right off of their coastline. You think they're really sleeping well these days? Not even with the MyPillow, the Iranian version. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve, what's on your mind?
Todd, I believe it is a crying shame that we finally have a president that is trying to do in the Middle East what should have been done back in 1973 during the first OPEC oil embargo, when they started using oil like a cock gun against the rest of the world's head to get their way and push their agenda. And now that somebody is finally trying to do something about that and get some stability in that part of the world when it comes to oil, which is, me, that's just as important as air and water to our civilization. The best weapon Iran has right now are the American public. They're so dang wishy-washy. They're so dang whiny. They sound like a bunch of four-year-olds that are in a car going on a trip asking every 5 minutes, when are we going to get there? When are we going to get there?
Steve, there are actually people, I think there are, well, there certainly are people in the media, but I think there are even people on the Republican side of the aisle who are, I don't know, rooting for Iran here. It's, you know what, where is your patriotism? I'm getting sick and tired of these grifters out there, the Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones, all of that crowd. They are spewing the same talking points that are coming from MSNBC and CNN right now.
It doesn't make any sense to me. The only thing that makes sense is for money. That's the only thing that makes any logical sense.
Steve, appreciate the call. And it's a valid point you raise. But again, ladies and gentlemen, whose side are you on here? Do you support the United States of America and our commander-in-chief, or are you with the Iranians? By the way, President Trump already hinting that he may pull out of NATO. And the reason why is not a single NATO nation is offering to contribute any money to the cause. Then you've got a number of NATO nations that are refusing to allow our military to use their bases, their runways as staging areas for our operation in Iran right now. You know, at that point, I don't blame the president one bit. NATO comes a screaming every time Russia decides to invade a country, and we have to come running to their defense. Well, what's the point, ladies and gentlemen? The only time the European nations need us is when somebody invades their country. I say, you know what, folks? You're on your own. That's it. No more money from us. No more support from us. You're on your own. You had a chance, and you blew it. So I don't blame the president one bit for what he's about to do with NATO. And I'm telling you, all of those Europeans, they better be trembling in their boots. All right, coming up, I really don't want to do this, but we got to talk about Kristi Noem's husband. Who would have thought he was the bigger boob in the relationship? All right, we'll be right back. The very latest coming up.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade. It wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888. And over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%, while inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Coming up tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, President Trump addresses the nation on Iran. And also, it's pretty exciting. We've got a huge space launch coming up tonight around 6 o'clock Eastern. We understand Artemis 2 is going to be launching from the Kennedy Space Center. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. You know, we've been talking, a lot about fraud across the nation. We've been focusing on Minneapolis and the millions and millions of dollars in fraudulent spending, the grift, the waste, the abuse. But it's not just Minneapolis. As a matter of fact, earlier today in the state of Tennessee, they released a partial audit of the state's largest school district. That would be in Memphis and Shelby County. And they say it is the worst example of fraud and abuse and wasteful spending they have ever seen. One of the people spearheading all of this joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He has also spearheaded the effort that led to President Trump sending in the National Guard. He is State Senator Brent Taylor, and he joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Senator, good to have you with us, and wow, what a shock today. Tell us about some of the what you guys have discovered so far.
Well, it's great to be with you, Todd. Thank you for allowing me to come on and talk about this issue, because you're right. This is, I believe, on the scale of the Minnesota type fraud. And what this audit, and this is a forensic audit, so this is different than just a run-of-the-mill financial audit. They're doing a deep dive. They've uncovered a lot of things. Just to give you a good example, this shows that the Memphis Shelby County School District, they bought a building for $6 million and spent $33 million renovating it. And then they sold the building for $5 million, $1 million less than they paid for it. And then they sold it to a group called New Day Tennessee, I believe is the name. And it is headed by a former school board member. And the building, they bought the building with they were the only bidder. And so that's an example. It also gets into the...
Oh, I think we lost the senator there. Sorry about that, folks. But it is shocking, shocking, the amount of fraud. And get this, the worst part about all of this is not the entire school board, made up of Democrats, not a single Republican on the school board at all. You also have this little nugget that 70% of the children in Memphis schools cannot read at grade level. They simply cannot read at grade level. It's unacceptable. And by the way, when you talk about what is broken in many of our major American cities, that's the common denominator. Every single one of them. Take a look at the top two issues, crime and education. And every single major American city that is controlled by Democrats, this is what we get. I think we've got the senator back with us. Senator, this is just shocking. So you're telling me that they bought this building. It was worth what 30 some odd million dollars, and then they sold it to a nonprofit run by a former school board member for what, pennies on the dollar?
That's right. The building, they bought it for $6 million, made $33 million in improvements, and then sold it for $5 million. And another example is the operations. There are no internal controls. They basically have a computer program or a computer system that they manage all their contracts. And as people came and went from the school district, they never removed them from access to the computer. So technically, a former employee could have set up a fake company, sent in a contract, then sent in invoices and paid the invoice all from outside the district. And we don't know that that happened, but there are a lot of shady things going on with this this school district. And the thing that this audit revealed, Todd, is that the Memphis Shelby County School District, they're as organized as a $5 bin at Walmart. And we have to get control of it.
Oh, that's not very well organized, Senator. No, I've seen those bins. You know, I think it's just shocking for a lot of people to realize that there has been an intentional dumbing down of our society through the education system. And when you've got a situation where 70% of the kids are not reading at grade level, what do you make of that?
Well, that's the reason we're doing this. I mean, Memphis has had a lot of things going wrong for a long time. And crime was rampant. Our education system, only a quarter of the kids that graduate are reading at proficiency. And it took President Trump. And by the way, you played a huge role in getting the president to send the Memphis Safe Task Force to Memphis. It was from a radio interview that you had a conversation with the president, first planted that seed in his mind. And it was Senator Marsha Blackburn who ran with it and ultimately got the president to send the Memphis Safe Task Force to Memphis. And they have cut crime in half. The other thing that's been holding Memphis back has been our education system. And what we're going to do at the state level is really a Memphis education task force, where we're going to take over the school district. We're going to put in people who know how to manage large organizations to get this thing turned around. And if we can solve crime and education, Memphis could be the next southern it city, much like Dallas, Atlanta, Charlotte, and Nashville. Memphis could be that next city.
You know, it's interesting. We have a lot of listeners in Houston, Texas, and my understanding is the same thing happened there, where there was a takeover of the public school system there.
And we're actually using the Houston model. It's the Houston Independent School District. We're using their model here in Memphis. And the superintendent there in Houston has been to Nashville and met with lawmakers. We are borrowing all the things that they did in Houston. The one thing that the Houston district said that they wish they had done differently is what we're doing. They should have started with a forensic audit of the school district, and they think it would have helped avoid a lot of the lawsuits that resulted in that takeover. But they have done a phenomenal job, and we hope to replicate that in Memphis.
Well, I know I'd love to hear from some of our Houston listeners to know how that's worked out, you know, because, again, what we've seen happen in the Memphis area, you've had a lot of moms and dads, and many of them have been voting Democrat, and all of a sudden they're waking up and they're realizing that the Democrat Party has failed them, and the people they put on that school board have failed them as well.
They have failed them miserably. And matter of fact, the clown cartel that is in charge of the Memphis Shelby County school system, if they had led the Israelites out of Egypt instead of Moses, they would have ended up in a cornfield in Indiana somewhere.
Wow. It's insane to think about, Senator. But again, this is where we are. And, you know, it's not right. And we've got to make sure these kids are learning and that the money is going to where it's supposed to be going. Now, I understand it's only, 25% of the audit has been completed. So the level of fraud, have you guys been able to put a dollar amount so far just on that 25%?
Yes. So they have identified $1.1 million that the auditors deem is waste and abuse. There's an additional $1.7 million that's separate from the 1.1 that is contracts that they have entered into that were outside board policy. And, I mean, there are a slew of $99,000 contracts, which, you know, there's a reason they're $99,000. They're trying to escape having to go out to bid. And so they're only 25% of the way through. There is a lot of waste and abuse in this. Matter of fact, I had dinner last night with our friend Congressman Tim Burchett of Tennessee, who is now the chairman of the Doge Commission Committee in Congress. And I plan on sending him a copy of this audit when it's complete, because the Doge committee needs to know what federal dollars have been wasted by this group of inept clown cartel that's running the school system here.
Wow. All right. Senator, one final comment here. I know you've been so tough on crime. We had the No Kings protest over the weekend. Now we understand that the Memphis Police Department has placed a number of officers on leave because they simply enforce the law. You had a mob that, they were blocking roadways, which is illegal. 45 minutes, the officers told them, you've got to move, and they didn't move. And so finally, they moved them for them, and it looks as though City Hall not exactly standing alongside the police officers here.
They're not, and I sent a letter to the Memphis mayor yesterday, which prompted a phone call from him, and he indicated that they are on paid leave and that they will do the investigation. But I shared with the mayor. I said, look, everything that's going on with crime, we finally have things turned around and headed in the right direction, and the police and law enforcement have done that, and we have to stand behind our law enforcement. And you cannot allow this group of weathered, purple-haired hippies waving their signs, No Kings, and blocking roadways and preventing people from getting down the road. Look, everyone has the First Amendment right to protest and freedom of expression, but it does not give you the right to break the law in doing that. And so the police acted appropriately. And they need to be put back on the street. And more importantly, we have to stand behind our law enforcement because we have a recruitment problem in Memphis, and that does nothing to help with recruitment when they think the political leadership won't be behind them when they have to make tough decisions.
Yeah. All right, Senator, we're going to leave it there. Wow, what an amazing day and really a breathtaking day for the city of Memphis. As we now understand, just we're getting a glimpse of, because again, just 25%, when it's all said and done, I mean, you could be looking at millions and millions more, right?
That's correct. And, you know, we've reduced crime. We're now focused on education. And these are the two things we have to do to make Memphis matter.
All right. So, State Senator Brent Taylor from Nashville at the state capitol. Senator, thank you. And folks, again, it's a great example. Memphis is a great example here. Everybody thought Memphis was a lost cause. Donald Trump sent in the National Guard, created the Memphis Safe Task Force, and in under 6 months, crime down 43%. And now, with the education situation, your tax dollars were being squandered and abused in Memphis, and the Republicans are all over this, and they're going to get it fixed. And if we can turn around Memphis, this is a blueprint for every other major American city controlled by the Democrats. I mean, it really is that simple. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, I've got a few things to say about this Kristi Noem story that broke yesterday. It's pretty wild, folks, just pretty wild. But it should not be surprising to anybody, and I'll explain why coming up next. All right. So, look, I know everybody is feigning surprise here that Kristi Noem's husband was a cross-dresser who, you know, preferred big-bosomed women. I mean, that was the worst-kept secret in Washington, D.C. And President, I mean, look, the White House knew about it. My biggest concern about all of that is that this posed a significant national security risk. And the reason why is that Kristi Noem could have been blackmailed over this, or anybody else in, you know, connected could have been blackmailed. Her husband could have been blackmailed. We're dealing with very high-profile positions here. And I know it's funny, I'm getting a lot of blowback from you guys on social media saying, Todd, this is nobody's business, that there's nothing wrong, there's nothing illegal with, you know, wearing big bosomed, you know, appendages. There's nothing wrong with men wearing pink hot pants. It's their business. And I get it. I understand why people are saying that. But the reality of it, it's kind of weird, man. It's really kind of weird. And I don't know many people in my circle of friends that, you know, run around on social media and on fetish websites displaying big bosoms. Let's go to the phone line here, 901-260-5926. Mark from the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Hey, Mark, what's your take on all of that?
Hey, Todd, you're not going to believe who I'm standing next to right now.
I'm all ears.
Christy Gnomes' husband.
Wait, what?
An April Fool's.
Oh, he's at the...
I thought Grace probably told you because you brought up her name up. I thought she told you.
Oh, no. Did not know that. Oh, very, very clever. Very well.
Hey.
You know, Mark, it's interesting. It seems as though the Republican Party at large is just kind of like, what's the big deal? It's their private life, and you know, if the guy wants to, dress up like a woman, that's his business.
Yeah, but it was a security risk, like you said. Off the subject a second. You're not talking much about March Madness.
No, I'm not, and there's a reason for that, and you know the reason why, and you are about to be banned from this program.
I told you to get on the UConn rat wagon, but you just didn't listen. But boy, I'll tell you what. See, I'm close to UConn because Rebecca Lobo, who's the commentator for ESPN, her mom and dad are, I know them well. And so I've always been a UConn fan because of that. And it's just incredible. I think they're on a good mission now. And I'm looking forward to Friday and Saturday because the girls are in the Final Four and the guys. And usually when they get to this point, they usually win. And the last thing I wanted to tell you is Happy Easter. I hope you have a blessed Easter, you and your family and your staff.
Well, Mark, that's very kind of you, and likewise, thank you. And of course, we've got Good Friday coming up. I feel like I'm a day ahead all week for some reason, but we have Good Friday coming up, and of course, Easter Sunday, and a lot of churches around the nation are going to be filled to overflowing. It is really the most important time of the year for Christians as we remember the sacrifice made and the prophecy fulfilled. So, Mark, God bless you, and thank you for calling in, and certainly wish all of you great folks there a very, very happy Easter. It was really interesting. I was going through a lot of the messages last night, and people are just really upset. They're saying that we have no business talking about Christy Gnome, that we have no business talking about their personal life. But the reality is, when you're the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, that is a very, very important question. Gilbert writes in, Todd, how are you even asking that question? How do you miss it in a background check? Well, I think it's very clear to me the FBI was not doing what they were supposed to be doing. Derek weighing in, well, he had a nice rack though, huh? Nancy says, as someone else pointed out, there are cross-dressers in Congress. So as Hillary Clinton would say, what difference does it make? You know, here's the problem. The Republicans have lost their moral center, right? And the Republicans are in grave danger of becoming just like the Democrats. So it's wrong if their people do it, but it's okay if our people do it. That's nuh-uh. If you're going to go after the Democrats or something, you got to go after the Republicans. You got the Democrat, the dude from Delaware. I guess he would be, but he's a transgender dude. So that takes it up a notch. So anyway, there. Paul Shanklin sent me a I can't read this on the air, Shanklin. Jeez, a loo. All right, hour two of the big show coming up. Liz Peek, Congressman John Rose, and your calls. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 2. And tonight, any space fans in the crowd, very excited about the launch of Artemis 2. This is going to be the first time in more than 50 years that humans have traveled beyond low Earth orbit, and they're going to loop around the moon. they're going to get to see the far side of the moon. Maybe we'll finally understand where all the alien ships are located. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Anyway, all of this is happening later tonight at the Kennedy Space Center, and we've got four astronauts on board. They're going to be up there for about 10 days. So this is pretty darn exciting, and we'll see how all of that plays out. So remember, Dylan, this may have been before your time. Any of you old-timers out there remember the Stomp rocket? Any of you guys have the Stomp rocket when you were a kid? So as a way to celebrate Artemis II, the family-owned brand called Stomp Rocket, so it's a mom-and-pop business, they have these kid-powered rockets and toys, and they're doing a version just for Artemis II, which is pretty awesome. So these are rocket-launching toys where you have the rocket and you have this thing and you stomp on it, and the harder you stomp, the higher up your rocket goes. So, and they've got them at Walmart and some of the other toy stores around town. I think that's pretty cool. $24.99, not too bad. You know, the Stomp rockets have been around for, more than 30 years, and they're based in Minden, Nevada. I'm sure some of our Nevada listeners know where Minden is, and made by the D&L company. So locally owned, family run company there. So how about that Stomp rocket? So you do wonder, you know, it's interesting. Back in the day, even when I remember when, if you go all the way back to when the space shuttles were launched, and that's all anybody could talk about. Everybody had the big NASA logo. It was plastered on everything. Your school books, your cars. Everybody was all about, you know, space and astronauts. And now it just, I guess after a while, it became ho-hum. And even now, I'm not seeing a lot of excitement or energy about the launch today. But I'm really fascinated by this. And it will be our first voyage toward the moon in over 50 years. That's pretty awesome. By the way, the rocket ship is as tall as the Statue of Liberty. That is one big rocket. So 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. The Supreme Court hearing arguments today over birthright citizenship. So the controversy comes from the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. That says that anybody born on American soil is automatically a citizen, regardless of their parents' immigration status. Now, there are a few exceptions to that. For example, children of foreign-born diplomats. So President Trump his argument is that the policy creates incentives for illegal immigration and what they call birth tourism. And that children of illegal aliens should not automatically receive U.S. citizenship. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. So the Supreme Court talking about it today. Here is Justice Sam Alito, one of the good guys. And he says that just because illegal aliens were not a problem at the time of the 14th Amendment does not mean that this should not be addressed today. Take a listen.
Nations that they had in mind when they adopted the general rule. Or do we say they adopted a general rule, they meant for that to apply to later applications that might come up? Justice Scalia had an example that dealt with this situation. He imagined an old theft statute that was enacted well before anybody conceived of a microwave oven, and then afterwards someone is charged with the crime of stealing a microwave oven, and this fellow says, well, I can't be convicted under this because the microwave oven didn't exist at that time. And he dismissed that. There's a general rule there, and you apply it to future applications. And what we're dealing with here is something that was basically unknown at the time when the 14th Amendment was adopted, which is illegal immigration. So how do we deal with that situation when we have a general rule?
Yeah, I strongly agree with the way that you framed it, that there is a general principle that's a broad principle that's adopted in the phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And we submit that our theory of allegiance and domicile-based allegiance is what explains those specific exceptions that everybody was aware of. But it is broad enough to sweep in future situations. And as you pointed out, illegal immigration did not exist then. Now, the problem of temporary visitors did exist. And it's very interesting that as you look at pages 26 and 28 of our brief, commentators going from, you know, 1881 until 1922 are uniformly saying the children of temporary visitors are not included. Now, that logic, we say, it naturally extends. It's really an a fortiori case. If you have someone who enters illegally by the 1880s, there are restrictions on immigration. If you've entered illegally, it's kind of, you know, a well-established principle of law going back to the Code of Justinian that says you're not allowed to be there. You cannot, you don't have the legal capacity to create domicile there.
All right, there, Solicitor General. Is that sounds like he's got a little chest cold? So anyway, this is going to ultimately be decided by the Supreme Court, and the issue is whether or not the president could outright end birthright citizenship or limit birthright citizenship via the executive order. And again, the president, and the point of this is the president says illegal aliens are abusing this. They're coming to America to have their babies on American soil. They have absolutely no allegiance to America. They just want all of our welfare. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Do you believe that we should have limitations on birthright citizenship? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go back to Alex Jones for just a moment. And Alex Jones has now turned on the president. And Alex Jones is saying that he's talking to people inside the administration, that Trump is gone. He's really having some health problems. He said that Pete Hegseth and Caroline Leavitt are freaked out, but they're being loyal. I don't know where he's getting any of this intel, but he said that Trump is aging quickly and is no longer up for the job. And he says that the Trump we all knew and loved is, well, no longer there. Do we have that? Let's take a listen to that audio.
When your ankles swell up three times the size they were before, that means heart failure. And he does look sick. And he does babble and, you know, sound like the brain's not doing too hot. And so we just cut bait on Trump and we just mobilize against the Democrats and we mobilize against neocons. We primary them and we just fight even harder because look at how we've turned the tide. Look at all the good we've done. There's a fourth turning. Populists, nationalists, conservatives are winning everywhere. There's a Christian reawakening. And Trump is just a minor figure in all of that now. And we have to be appreciative of the old Trump that went through so much and got so much done. And that's the Trump we remember. And we're just sad because that happens. We need to be sad about Trump. This is not funny. This is not good. But he's gone. And that's it. And all the people rallied around him. You can see Hegseth's freaked out. You can see the press secretary's freaked out. They're being loyal. They think it's the lesser of two evils. And I just, Trump needs intervention. He needs to take some time off. We need to pray for Trump, the Holy Spirit touch his heart and loose him from whatever evil control he's under. I'm serious. And I think that's the answer. We need to pray for President Trump. We need to pray for other people to be awakened. We need to pray for justice and peace.
All right. I'm just curious. Do you believe, as Alex Jones just said, that President Trump is what, possessed perhaps by some sort of an evil spirit? Do you believe that President Trump is not doing well, that his health has taken a turn? I'm just not seeing that. In the conversations I've had with him, as a matter of fact, I was with the president a couple of weeks ago when he was in Memphis and got to spend a very, very brief time. But he put out that hand and had a good, firm handshake. The president was in good spirits and he was cognizant. He seemed to be just fine to me. I'm not seeing the kind of person that Alex Jones is describing here. So are you seeing what Alex Jones is seeing? And if not, what do you think Jones is up to here? Why do you think that he is making this turn against the president. And it's, I mean, you can't, the guy did not mince any words by what he just said there. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I mean, the president's taking questions. He doesn't ask for the questions in advance from the press corps. Whenever they're around, yesterday, the president signing executive orders, and he was doing Q&A off the cuff with reporters. He was giving and taking, and, I mean, he seemed pretty cognizant to me. But it does appear that the populist wing of the Republican Party is trying to make a break now, and maybe they're trying to set themselves up for 2028 and putting out a candidate, whether that be J.D. Vance or whoever. I think the Republican nominee in 2028 is going to be Marco Rubio, but we'll talk about that another day. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina. Charles, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. So, Todd, I listened to the entire 2 hours of the of what was going on at the Supreme Court today, and I heard both sides. And I'm not a lawyer, but to me, Todd, it just seemed like they were really overthinking this. To me, it's a very simple issue. You break in this country illegally, you're subject to the jurisdiction of the country from which you came, as are your children. And also, the 14th Amendment, in my opinion, was very specific. It was ratified right after the Civil War, and it dealt with slaves and children of slaves to make them citizens, because of the Dred Scott decision going back to the 1850s, and also the three-fifths clause of the Constitution. But it just sounded like they were losing sight of that. And I didn't know if you had a chance to listen to it, but did you get a sense of where you think the justices are on this?
I know where the rock-solid conservatives are. I got the impression from Amy Coney Barrett that she may be waffling on this. So I didn't get a good read there. And John Roberts, it was hard to understand what side he was coming down on. I think the argument could be made that he actually, I don't know, supports the change or cracking down. But I'm not sure. What are you getting at?
Well, so, you know, they were talking about how back during the 1850s and 60s, they never could have foreseen illegal immigration like we have today, which is true. And I would also argue we don't know what's going to happen 50 or 100 years from now. I mean, let's say that 50 years from now, we have a spaceship that enters the atmosphere and it lands in Wyoming or someplace, and it's got 10 million people on it, and they all have children. Are they going to be considered citizens of the United States? Do they act? Do they think that that's what the little interpretation of the 14th Amendment is? I'm going to argue not. Again, it is very specific to slaves and children of freed slaves. So, I hope the Supreme Court rules in like that. I'm not sure where this executive order is going to go, or if that has much force, but there's just no way we can let these babies be considered citizens of the United States, because it's just going to, in my opinion, it's just going to destroy the country. I mean, what do you think?
Well, it will lead to, I mean, and we've already seen this happen. I think it would lead to even more millions of people crossing the border, illegals coming into this country so they can have a baby on American soil and immediately get all the resources of the American taxpayers, because that's what has been happening, you know, for years.
Yeah, and that was not the original intent of the 14th Amendment. I think if the people that authored that, if they could come back today and hear the arguments and see what's going on in this country, they would say absolutely not. This is not what we meant when we penned the 14th Amendment. It was to deal with the aftermath of the Civil War and to make citizens of slaves who, through no fault of their own, came here. And they and their children are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. They have allegiance to
Yep.
the United States. These illegal aliens have no allegiance to the United States.
And just to put this in perspective, Charles, we're going to have to run here for a break. But just to put this in perspective, according to the, the last census data we have, which is from 2023, there are right now 22.8 million foreign-born non-U.S. citizens living in the country. So let that sink in. That's a lot of folks. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, coming up tonight on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2, which you can watch on Newsmax's Facebook page. You can also watch on Newsmax's YouTube channel, the Newsmax 2 Live YouTube channel. We have some great guests. Congressman Scott Perry's going to drop by. Congressman Chuck Fleischman. Also, our good buddy, retired Air Force Brigadier General John Tykert, will be with us as well to give us the latest on Iran. All of that taking place 5 o'clock Eastern. By the way, this segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. You may not be aware of this, but 70% of Americans are not getting the full Social Security benefits they deserve. That's right. But thanks to some great work and research by Michael Allen, a Social Security expert, you could increase your benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Now, Newsmax wants to give you these five key strategies. All you have to do to get the Social Security report is to give Newsmax a call right now, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. That number one more time, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, let's go right to our phones, 901-260-5926. Andre in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Andre. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Look, coming from a man that I don't classify myself as black. I classify myself by the content of my character, but I am classified as black. It is frustrating to me that black people are not outraged about these people trying to make illegal citizens when black had to go through getting enslaved in order for them to get the right to vote and citizenship, to go through Jim Crow to get the right to vote and citizenship. And now you're basically saying that all you got to do now is just break into the country and we're going to reward you with citizenship. Anytime you start rewarding illegal behavior, you encourage illegal behavior. And it is frustrating to me that how black people have been hypnotized by the Democratic Party to where no matter what platform they put out there, you go along with it because they've convinced you. From back, I grew up in the 60s. So we grew up.
Andre, here's what I want to do. We've got to take a quick break, but I want you to be able to finish your thought. Can you stick around and hold on till after the break?
I will.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We're going to finish up with Andre. 901-260-5926. Our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, this segment of the Todd Stern's Radio Show brought to you by our friend Mike Lindell and MyPillow, and they have some mega sale opportunities for our listeners. MyPillow's normally $49.98, now just $14.98. I have many, many MyPillows. Love them, the Giza Dream Sheets, mattress toppers, you name it, they've got great prices. Go to MyPillow.com and use my promo code STARNS. Or you can call them at 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. Promo code STERNS unlocks these awesome prices over at MyPillow.com. All right, I want to go right back to the phones. My apologies, I wasn't watching the clock, and Dylan's already hollered at me, so I won't do it again. We have Andre, who's listening to us from Memphis, Tennessee. And Andre, you're pretty upset about this whole birthright citizenship. Before we finish our conversation here, I want to share some numbers, Andre. Do you realize the number of unauthorized immigrants in the United States? Go back to 1990. That number was 3.5 million. In 2023, that number was 14 million. And when you look at we call them anchor babies. These are the babies of the illegals, all right? Just in 1 year alone, the numbers we're working with are from 2023, so they're a little bit old, but it gives you an idea of what we're dealing with here. We're talking about 9% of all the births in America, Andre, are coming from anchor babies, and every single one of those anchor babies is eligible for welfare, food stamps, whatever resources they need, the American taxpayers have to provide for.
That's what's frustrating me. You know, Todd, I grew up in the 60s, so I was a part of what they, those real peaceful protests. But when you got through protesting, you didn't see buildings on fire. You didn't see police officers being attacked. You didn't see people getting murdered. You didn't see graffiti everywhere. And you're sitting around here letting a Democratic Party hypnotize black people to where whatever agenda we're putting out there, who do you think when they give away all that welfare and all that, who, what group do you think is going to affect the most and affect first other than black people? And it's so sad because they're so busy caught up on the color of their skin. When are we going to get to the content of my character part? When are we going to get back to loving America? We got a school system that's indoctrinating these children into hating America. Well, I got news for y'all. Once they get rid of this America, they don't have another one out there. And I don't know no place in the world that's looking to recruit black Americans because they don't want your mentality.
Well, I would push back just a bit on that, Andre, because I think white people, actually, there are more white people just by the sheer numbers of white people in America on welfare than there are blacks or Hispanics. But to your point, every dollar that is going to an illegal is one less dollar going to a law-abiding American citizen, no matter the color of their skin.
Well, you can see it in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Libraries and community center projects that they had to put off because they had to provide resources for the illegal immigrants coming in. And it is so sad. And for somebody who's classified as a black people, I want people in America to know all black people don't think like the majority of them. There are some of us out here that are waking up and they'll realize that the Democratic Party has never been a friend of black people, is not a friend of black people, and will never be a friend of black people.
What is it going to take to change voter? Because you know how it is in Memphis. I mean, everybody sees the problems, and yet people still vote for the same folks, the same political party. How do we break that cycle?
Well, the first thing, Republicans do a poor job of marketing. They need to start pointing out to black America these areas where I'll give you an example. This woman, Jayla Paul, that went up there yesterday, and she's talking about she wants to get reparations for illegal immigrants. And every time Barack Obama had a supermajority in the Congress, in the Senate, and the President said, they never brought up the conversation of reparations for black people. Somebody's got to expose the black people that Democrats are using that carrot in front of a mule's head to fool them, and the Republicans need to do a better job of marketing to the black community.
I do not disagree with that. I'll give you an example of that. Here in the Memphis area, you guys were about to elect a county mayor, and you have a gentleman by the name of John D. Berry. He was a longtime Democrat, kicked out of his party, on among other things, because of his position on pro-life, and now he is the Republican nominee. They announced his campaign from a high-end car dealership, and I got no problem with that. But imagine what kind of a statement they could have made had they made that announcement in Robert Church Park, a park that was named after the black man who founded the Republican Party in Shelby County because Democrats were preventing blacks from getting the vote. I mean, what kind of a statement would that have been? Again, going back to the marketing of it, because I guarantee you most black children in Memphis don't realize that the first millionaires, the people who owned the first baseball team in Memphis, all happened to be black people who were also Republican.
And don't leave out, Robert Church was born a slave but died a millionaire. And it's funny you brought up John D. Berry because John was on my show. And when John came up and said that he was for that abortion bill that they were pushing in the Tennessee legislature, I told John then, I said, you can get ready to find yourself another party because they're coming after you. And they did.
They sure did. They kicked him right. Yep. Gave him right out the door. My goodness, Pastor Andre, it's always good hearing from you, my friend, and I appreciate your now. Look, you're spot on, and it all goes back to putting the needs of the American people first. And if we can just get rid of all of this fraud and all of this waste and abuse in our country, like I think it was Stephen Miller said, we're going to be able to balance our budget without having to make any cuts. So there you go, Andre. Thank you for that call. Great to hear from you. By the way, I just want you to hear me on this. And all these numbers I'm sharing with you, they're lowball and probably double. But right now, there are about 5.3 million children in American public schools. Again, that number is about 11% of the total enrollment of kids in U.S. schools. All right. they don't speak a lick of English. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that a lot of public schools are having to hire ESL teachers. So they're having to hire teachers to teach these kids how to speak English. And as a result of that, that means that if, look, budgets are tight in these school districts. And so if, let's just say, you know, you've got a couple of hundred kids in your local elementary school and they don't speak English, that tells me they're going to have to, they'll have to sacrifice somewhere else. That may mean no reading teacher, no math teacher, no PE teacher, because they've got to use those resources to hire teachers to teach these kids how to speak English. That's what we're dealing with here. So it's not just a matter of you're born here, that makes you an American citizen. That's not what this is about. This is about people coming here to this country illegally, having a baby so they can take advantage of the welfare of the great taxpayers of America. That's what is really going on here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Last night had a great conversation on Newsmax with our good buddy Ben Ferguson. You see him on CNN a lot, but he also comes on my Newsmax show. And Ben is really fired up over a couple of things. First of all, what's happening with Jaden Ivey. And boy, has that story just exploded. There's a lot of controversy over the NBA. People are now calling for us to boycott the Chicago Bulls and the NBA in general. A lot of sportscasters are now saying that this guy is mentally off his rocker. So Ferguson joined us to talk about that. Also had some things to say about John Thune as well. Let's take a listen. Your take on what we've seen take place over the past 24 hours.
Yeah, I thought the LGBTQ plus II plus plus AA community was supposed to be all about tolerance, right? Well, there's no tolerance here for someone that disagrees with what you're demanding. And what the NBA has done is they basically now sanctioned political speech, and you must agree with what the NBA says you have to believe in. You know, I challenge every single Christian, every single person that believes differently than someone else in Chicago. Don't go to the game. Don't sell your ticket, by the way. Have an empty stadium. I assume there's a lot of people that identify as being people of faith that go to Chicago Bulls teams. There's a lot of churches in Chicago. And if you are watching this right now, they will do this to you. This is how you silence people. This is what happens in other countries around the world. This individual did not attack anyone. What he said was he was being persecuted for his beliefs during a mandate by the NBA when it comes to Pride Month and everything else that goes along with it. I also hope, by the way, there's a lawsuit here. I hope he gets amazing lawyers, and I hope there's a real lawsuit here so that he can stand up for what he believes in. And clearly they fired him for his religious beliefs. This attack on Christians, this attack on anybody that has faith in God in general. And so I go back to the NBA, and let's be clear. This is the same NBA that put Black Lives Matter all over their stadiums and on their courts, and they talk about tolerance, and they say, look, if we tell you you can believe in it, we'll allow you to believe in it. But if you do something we don't like, we will fire you. That's not religious freedom in America, and I hope he sues, and I hope he gets a lot of money.
And the great irony here is you've got players out there doing all sorts of terrible things. They've attacked women. They've broken the law. And yet those guys are given a second chance. They keep those guys around, but they're going to give the Christian guy the heave-ho, Ben.
Yeah, look, I have no problem with second chances. I want to be clear about that. But you shouldn't be able to buy your way back on a team after you abuse women. And we have multiple cases of that happening of wife beaters and girlfriend beaters who were given a pathway right back to play because they were good. The difference here is this, Todd. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't beat up a woman in an elevator. He didn't beat up a girlfriend in a hotel room or a wife in a hotel room. He didn't beat up a kid. He didn't take drugs. He didn't have a gun on him. For example, we've seen Jay Moran in Memphis, Tennessee, for example, had a lot of problems with guns in his hands, and they found a pathway for him to come back. This individual did nothing wrong but to say, this is what I believe because of my faith. And now he's been fired because he believes in God more than he believes in the NBA and their propaganda. The NBA is a liberal organization. Look at their courts. Look at what's on their uniforms. Look at their hypocrisy when they have no problem being in business with China. Look at the shoes that are played by many of the NBA players that are done in sweatshops of children in China and the slave labor that goes on there. So don't lecture me, NBA, about human rights when you guys are in business with China and they're enslaving children who are making almost all of your sneakers. Like, spare me the fake outrage here. What this really is a persecution by the NBA of Christians. And they were telling every Christian on every team in that league, you better shut up and sit down during Pride Month and any other propaganda politically we want to put on your uniform or on the court you play on. You better stand proud and loud when it happens, or we'll get rid of you as well.
Ben, I want to move on real quick. Get your take on what we're watching take place up in Capitol Hill right now in Congress. You've got the Senate out on what, spring break, 2-week vacation, Lindsey Graham down at Disney World doing Lord knows what. And the American people, Ben, they're sick and tired of this nonsense. And I'm telling you, if we don't get it together, we could have some big problems come the midterms.
Yeah, I agree with you. And look, I think what you've witnessed now is the president saying it's time for them to get back to work. I want to be clear. I do not think the Senate's going to come back early. John Thune doesn't give a crap as long as he has power. Even if he's a minority and he's still in charge, he's happy with that, right? Lindsey Graham is the same way. He's a guy that's like, hey, I've had a good year. I've gotten us into a couple wars. I'm advocating for some more. I'm going to go down to Disneyland and walk around with some sort of kid's toy. Like, that's a whole nother level of weird. We can deal with that another day. But what I do think the American people need to do here is they need to be calling their senators and saying, do your damn job, get back to work, and pay the people that protect and defend this country. Pay the TSA agents. Do not hold them hostage. And also, just I think to Thune, like, I'm sorry, grow a pair, to be blunt, and do your job. Like, the American people gave you the majority. Act like it. You need to have if you need to have a talking filibuster to get them paid, then do it, because I promise you Democrats would do it. And John Thune is a wuss. He's a useful idiot for the left, and he's useless for the Republican Party and conservatives right now, including Donald Trump.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Trust you're doing well today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Coming up in the next hour, Congressman John Rose from Tennessee joins us in studio. Also, we're going to be taking your questions about finances from our good buddies at Strategic Financial Partners. They drop by every Wednesday. That will be a fun, fun conversation. All right. Also want to tell you about, you know what, Dylan, I feel like we should do a fun trivia question.
I agree. We should.
And this is going to be, I'm calling an audible here, and this is a good trivia question. I need you to tell me why the following people are making headlines today. These are the names: Reed Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Koch, and Jeremy Hansen. Why are these four individuals making headlines today? If you know the answer, give us a call. We're going to throw in an older copy of my book. We got The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. That's the book on the line here for trivia. Why are these people making headlines today? Reed Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Koch, Jeremy Hansen. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, and it's a head scratcher, isn't it, Dylan?
It is, because I'm assuming I don't know any of these people. That's the problem here.
So, interesting. Yeah. All right, 901-260-5926. By the way, I want to give you an update on how the book is going, and we are literally in final edits. I am making some changes, and then it's off to the printers, and it'll be in bookstores in the spring. I believe in May is when the book is coming out. But we have had a number of people that have now officially endorsed the book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And I want to read what President Trump had to say. This is kind of cool. President Trump saying this about The Golden Age, how he saved America. It's a lousy book. No, he didn't say that. Todd Stearns is a fierce defender of freedom and a great patriot. He has seen and understands what is happening to our country. like few others. Well, I certainly appreciate that, Mr. President. Also, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, writing this: as President Trump leads our nation into its golden age, Todd Starnes has delivered a powerful and timely book that challenges us to be that shining city on a hill. Read and share this with friends and family who believe in America and want to help keep our extraordinary republic. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's really all about, is making sure that we carry the torch. President Trump has shown us the way, and we have to rise up, and we have got to carry on that task. And that's the reason why I wrote The Golden Age. And you're going to love it. It's also a fun read. There are some chapters that are going to really make you laugh. You can get a copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, pre-order. And we encourage you to do that so we get a pretty good estimate of how many books we're going to need to order for launch day. All right, let's go to the phones real quick. Jim in North Carolina. All right, we mentioned four names: Reed Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Koch, and Jeremy Hansen. Who are these individuals? Why are they in the news?
Astronauts.
Yes. Jim, congratulations. They are the four astronauts on board the Artemis II spaceship, and they'll be blasting off a little bit later tonight. And congratulations, because you just won yourself a copy of my book, The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. So hang tight. We're going to get your info. Jim, well played, sir. All right, hour three of the big show coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to hour three of the Todd Starnes radio show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. 132 radio stations now broadcasting this program. What an honor to have you guys with us. We have got a lot of ground to cover. Of course, the big news tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, the president will be addressing the nation when it comes to Iran. We're going to get the very latest there. Also, we're expecting Artemis II to blast off into space, the first trip around the moon in over 50 years. That's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll be sharing more information about that as well. But right now, more pressing matters. It's always fun when we have a guest in studio, and we do have a guest, a great American patriot. He is a longtime congressman and wants to be the next governor of the state of Tennessee. We're talking about Congressman John Rose. Good to see you here in Memphis today.
Thank you, Todd. It's a great honor and privilege to be on the show today.
You know, I'm just curious here, and this is not a gotcha question. Did you have to stand in a line at the airport to get here, or did you get the special security escort?
Well, I've always stood in the line. Sometimes there isn't one, and that's a great thing, but very often there is. So, remarkably, flying out of Memphis, flying out of Nashville and into Nashville and Memphis from D.C., there haven't been particularly long lines, even in the heart of the shutdown, and so been thankful for that.
Because, you know, I don't know if you heard the news, TMZ, they're kind of like the gotcha, you know, magazine of Hollywood. They're launching a political division, so I guess they're setting up shop in our nation's capital now. And they're already, like, naming and, you know, cataloging which lawmakers are getting that special walk around the long lines.
I've seen the video.
You I'll have seen the video. Yes. All right. Okay. All right. I won't go any further than that. But Congressman, there is a lot of turmoil right now. I know you were the very first lawmaker to say the senators need to do something about their leadership over in this on the Senate side, and now a lot of other lawmakers are saying the same thing.
Absolutely. I think there's no question about it. And the more that I think this rests from their really inexplicable action last the wee hours of of Thursday night, Friday morning last week, it I think becomes clearer and clearer that Leader Thune is not providing the kind of conservative leadership that we need right now as a country, that we need from the Republican Party and the senators in the United States Senate.
My concern is that this is just really demoralizing the base of the party. And it's not so much you're going to have Republicans vote Democrat. You're just going to have a lot of Republicans stay home in November. And I'm concerned about that.
I am as well. And I think for good reason at some level. I mean, I would argue they shouldn't, because this is essentially a binary choice, as we so often face in Congress and technically the voters face. And so, you know, it's not as though if you don't vote for Republicans that you're going to get something better. You're going to get something far worse. You're going to get Democrats, and Democratic control of the House or Senate will take us down a very dark road. We know if they get control of the House, the very first thing they will do is to impeach the president and then start chasing other people in his administration. And that's where they'll spend all of their time and energy.
I have been impressed with Speaker Johnson. It seems like he has changed, maybe going from a timid leader to one who is really out there speaking truth to the powers that be. What's your assessment of how he is leading the Republicans?
Well, I think you're right. I think he really sized up the moment last Friday and understood that going along with what the Senate had done was a non-starter. It was a non-starter among those of us who are conservative in the Republican conference, but it was a non-starter for the Republican Party and the Republican voters across the country.
What would you recommend people do, Hammy? Because people are frustrated. You know, they want to be able to do something, and they don't feel like the Senate is listening to them. And before you answer that, though, I think the broader issue is, where are all of the other Republican senators calling out their leadership? That's my concern.
Absolutely. I think that's what I was going to recommend to the listeners, is you need to be calling your senator, whoever that is, whatever state you're in, here in Tennessee, Senator Blackburn, Senator Hagerty. You need to let them know that you expect them to call their leader, John Thune, to task for what happened. And as we know, and we alluded to earlier, they left town. Some of them left town even before the vote at 3 a.m. on Friday morning, and so they clearly knew what the deal was. We didn't know. Speaker Johnson didn't know, but clearly the Republican senators in the majority knew what was coming, and they left town knowing that they didn't need to be there.
I have already endorsed early on, and I endorsed Marsha Blackburn. I think that's important for people to know in the gubernatorial race, but I want to hear your reaction. When you saw her leaving early, and at that airport, getting the private, escort, what was going through your mind? I mean, you're not only a candidate, but you're a constituent.
Yeah, so I think it's a pattern. We saw this with the payday provision that was pushed through last fall from the Senate to the House to give her and other members of the Senate a chance to reap potentially millions of dollars from taxpayers at taxpayers' expense. We saw it again, with this example of her leaving town, bypassing security, leaving her post before the job was done. And we saw it in Nashville when the ice storm came and she requested to get put to the head of the line for having her home electricity put back on. And I think that's exactly backwards. I think we need leaders who understand that leaders eat last. We should put the people that we represent first. And so I think it's just a troubling pattern.
No, as a business owner, they're in the radio business, they're going to be great years and not so great years. And to your point, the owner of the station is the last person that gets paid. You know, that's a part of leadership, is putting the needs of others ahead of yours.
And I know that as a business owner and a person who's built businesses, you get paid last. Sometimes
Sure.
You get paid the most if things go really well, but
exactly.
Oftentimes you don't get paid at all.
Exactly, which is why we love President Trump coming on the show. It boosts our ratings. I'm just kidding. Well, it does boost our ratings. We have Congressman John Rose from Tennessee joining us, weighing in on the chaos in our nation's capital. Of course, another part of that is, getting DHS funded. And again, as much as, we focus on the Republicans, this is a Democrat issue. They're the ones that want DHS shut down.
That's right. And we need to remember all the way back to last fall. So now three times Leader Schumer, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer in the Senate, has led a Democrat instigated shutdown of this of the government, this time partial, just affecting the Department of Homeland Security. But in each case, they were putting illegal immigrants above American citizens. Last fall, it was free health care for illegal immigrants. Now it is stopping ICE and the Customs and Border Protection from protecting Americans from criminal illegal aliens. They're putting them ahead of American citizens, and it's shameful, and it should stop, and we should call it out. And frankly, the Senate should have stayed in Washington, and I believe they might have capitulated with all of the news that was bearing down on them. I think had leader Thune said, we're staying here until we get the job done, I suspect there might have been some Democratic senators who would have said, maybe it's time to make a deal.
I'm curious, Congressman, about boots on the ground. There's been a lot of talk about that. One of the things I've realized about President Trump, he has really never changed his position on any of his issues. He knows what he believes in, and it's been that way since the 1980s when he first said we got to go after, you know, Iran. And now here we are so many years later. Look, I think the president is just sending a message. I don't know if he's going to put boots on the ground or not, but I think Iran doesn't know that. And you know, the enemy has to be very concerned about the president because they can't read his mind. But I am curious about, in your congressional district, what are people telling you about boots on the ground?
Well, I think generally the American people are tired of forever wars, and we saw that with many who supported the president, because I think he correctly identified that concern among the American populace. But I think this is a different situation, and I hope and I believe that Americans understand that for 47 years, Iran has terrorized the world, including the United States. They've been the primary state sponsor of terrorism. They've killed literally thousands of Americans, maimed and injured others, many countless others. And so we can't allow them to get their hands on a nuclear weapon. And the president recognized that. And I think he is the master negotiator. And sometimes he makes threats. But what we know is he's willing to follow through on those. And the Iranians would be well advised to take note of what he's saying. So will there be boots on the ground? I think most Americans hope there will not. But if it is what is required to get this enriched uranium out of the country and ensure that it doesn't fall into the hands of some new despotic leader there in Iran, I think it's worth it.
I want to get to your run for the governor's office in just a moment. But I'm curious about what's going on in Washington. It seems like, I mean, it's always sort of been, you know, a chaos. But we're seeing really unusually large numbers of even Republicans saying, you know what, I'm retiring. I'm done here. We can't get anything done. What's going on? What is broken in Washington, D.C.?
Well, so I would argue that I don't think there's anything broken. It is very frustrating, and I will personally attest to that. Being in Congress is very frustrating. I certainly wouldn't say enjoyable. But I think if the founders, if the framers of the Constitution came back and they saw how Congress operates, I actually think they'd be pretty tickled about it, because they distrusted government. They wanted to tie government in knots, and they achieved the purpose that they had. So I think they would appreciate the rancor and the debate that's going on, and I think that's what they hoped that they were creating.
I suppose, you know, if you're looking at the brighter side, there are no canings and there are no duels that we know
right.
of.
That's happening. Right. And so, you know, I mean, if you view it through the full lens of history, I think Congress is working in kind of like it always has, with lots of angst and lots of disagreement, but ultimately that's leading to the consensus of what we should do. And sometimes that's very dissatisfying, the way that works out.
I want to play some audio. There are three Republicans running to be the next governor of Tennessee. And Tennessee is a very important state for the entire conservative movement. Senator Marshall Blackburn's running. You are running. And there's a state representative by Monty Fritz. And he's upset with you and Senator Blackburn. I want to take a listen. Dylan, let's play this audio.
Monty, when you were talking about who's refusing to debate, was it just Marsha, or is John Royce refusing also?
No, it's absolutely both of them. It's John and Marsha. Early on, I thought he was going to be willing to debate, but then he backed out. I think what I heard from their campaigns, he wasn't willing to debate unless she was there. And so that's what brought my football coach phrase of one of them scared and the other one's glad of it. And, there's a big libertarian thing in Chattanooga in a few weeks. Everybody should go, both parties. Let's put everything out on the table and talk about
positions and platforms. I think the people deserve that.
What do you think about the fact that he complained about her not debating, and now he won't debate you?
Again, one of them's scared, and the other one's glad of it.
Wouldn't it help you both to have some sort of forum where there's an empty chair where she would be sitting?
I think it's an awesome idea. I think most of the forums we're going to have, there'll be two empty chairs.
The people of Tennessee deserve to know, you know, what would she do as governor? Why does she want to be governor? And I think a debates would be the way to get at that.
All right. So he's saying you don't want to debate. Do you want to debate?
Absolutely, we want to debate. But I think we have to remember this is the Republican primary, and Republican voters deserve to hear from all the candidates. I mean, it's obvious what Representative Fritz is doing. He's hoping that he might get a lucky swipe in at me if I debate just him. But if we don't have Senator Blackburn there, then we're not really presenting the options to the people of Tennessee. So she should come out. We should have a full-fledged debate. We should have all the Republican candidates there for the Republican primary. I will absolutely be there and hope that that happens.
So on the record, you are willing to debate Marsha Blackburn and Monty Fritz.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Well, that settles that then. So, all right, we'll have to try to make that happen.
And I think the Republican voters deserve that debate. They ought to demand it.
How do you address the polling data? You know, there are polls out there, and they're showing her with a decisive lead over both of you. How do you interpret that data?
It's still driven almost entirely by name identification. So if you ask Tennessee voters, have you heard of the following people, and you throw names in front of them, if you put in Marsha Blackburn's name in front of them, 90, 95% of Tennesseans are going to say, yes, I know who that is. If you put John Rose's name in front of them, 15, 20% are going to say they've heard who I am at this point. And then so the results of those polls reflect that lack of awareness. We're going to fix that. But we have to wait until the voters are really ready to hear that message. And so that's coming. It's soon now. And when we do that, our polling data shows us that that the Tennessee voters will come out, the Republican voters in the primary will come our way.
All right. Where can people go, Congressman, if they want to get more information about your platform?
It's simple. JohnRose.com, JohnRose.com.
All right. Congressman, good to see you. And I know you were hanging out with the Republican women of purpose earlier today, and they always throw a great shindig.
Yes, great meal and great people and great patriots.
All right, we got to leave it there. Congressman, good to see you. Good luck out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back, everybody. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And we're going to be doing our best to get a number of candidates from around the nation on the show. And this is important. We need to talk about the midterms. And you heard Congressman Rose just a few moments ago, and he is rightfully concerned that the lack of action in the Senate could very well doom the entire Republican Party in the midterm elections. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Anna, Dahlonega, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Anna, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Todd, I'm really concerned. I mean, after hearing Alex Jones and his obscenities about the president, but we get right down to the bottom of this whole thing. Why are Obama and Biden not being considered in this mix? What they did contributed to a lot of the problems we're realizing now. A country of by and for the people. That is the government. But it seems like of by and for the politicians or their political parties, Trump's line, I don't use that term loosely, but Trump's everything. And no one seems to care. I'm concerned that some of our politicians are treated like celebrities. They show up on late night. They don't have any kind of integrity, discipline, and none of that. And it's just a big game show to them. And we're hurting out here. You know, we're the ones who have to deal with all these illegals. You know, I remember I came from a long line of of Democrats back in the day. I mean, I'm 75 years old, so it's been a long time. But my, you know, my grandparents came here from France, and, you know, they paid their dues, but now people just stroll through. And I'll tell you, the bottom line is Obama and Biden are the reasons for this, and they should pay restitution for this, but they're not.
No, they're not. And you're right, Anna. And I would even contend that George W. Bush was responsible for a lot of this, got us involved in two wars that we had no business. Well, we had Afghanistan, I can understand. But Iraq, we had no business going in there. And we lost a lot of American treasure as a result of that. And Donald Trump is undoing all of this damage. Anna, thanks for the call. I'll have more to say about that on the other side of the break. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Busy, busy news day, and I love this time of the week, Wednesday hump day. That means it's time for our good friends from Strategic Financial Partners to join us. They do that every Wednesday, just, again, answering your questions, giving you some guidance as you're putting together your financial portfolio, you're making plans for retirement or investment. And we love having our good friends from strategicfinancialpartners.com. That's strategicfinancialpartners.com. Adam Martin flying solo today. Adam, good to see you, my friend.
Good seeing you. And I'll give a shout out to Chris. I hope you're feeling better, bud. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, is he under the weather?
Yes. I think the pollen and all the stuff falling from the trees has gotten to
that him. Pollen is insane.
It is.
You know, I was getting last Saturday. I was getting ready, and I had to drop out of the office. And I'm like, "This is where I wash my car. I don't like spending money in the car washes, so I wash it here." And I worked around the clock. I mean, it took me 45 minutes to get the Cadillac sparkling. You know, because you want to represent the Lord in the church parking lot. You don't want the guys, you know, the deacons looking at you funny. So anyway, Sunday morning I get up for church. It's covered in pollen again.
My wife and I went
through. What the heck?
We went through a car wash over the weekend, and I literally looked at her and I said, I might as well have taken that $12 and lit it on fire.
Oh, my gosh. That's it. That's it. All right. Let's talk about investment strategy. And a lot of people are maybe even unfamiliar with that term, investment strategy. What do you mean by that?
Investment strategy is literally thinking about how do we need to deploy your capital to work for your goals. So is that a combination of growth investments? Is it conservative investments? Is it a combination of market-based investments and insurance products?
So a lot of people, I would have to imagine, think one size fits all. You know, is that correct, or is that a big mistake?
I would say if it seems like a one size fits all, it's not a good fit for you, because each person is different and your strategy should reflect what your goals are and not be the same as what somebody else's is.
Again, folks, by the way, if you have questions, give us a call, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. So we're putting together an investment strategy. What are some of the common mistakes that you see people making as they try to go through the procedure?
That's a great question. And one of the most common things that we see on a regular basis is somebody's just keeping their foot on the gas well beyond the years they should be keeping their foot on the gas, and they're too aggressive. Or we see some people are just very scared of the market. They don't want to have the risk of a correction and it wipe out what they've saved. So they keep their money invested in like cash or low-yielding investments. And so what are the risks there? The risk is if you're too aggressive and we're not aligned with the time frame for when you need those dollars, we could see a big market correction, and that could be detrimental to the success of your plan. Or if we're too conservative, things like inflation erodes the purchasing power of the dollar, and we need to outpace inflation. So if that number is 3.5%, maybe we should be looking at 5-6%.
So it's really about tailoring whatever your strategy is to what you are and where you are at in life.
Yeah, and I think that's what an advisor or financial professional, you know, provides the most value. There's a lot of misconceptions. You know, they see things like Wolf of Wall Street, or they hear other people talk bad about financial advisors. And what I really want people to understand is the best thing that we can do is build a plan first. And then we developed the investment strategy after that.
I'm lying. I don't know why that movie was on somewhere. And I just the other day, and it's such an awful movie. But
it is. It is. They're not all good people.
No, they're not. But fortunately, our friends at Strategic Financial Partners are the good guys. And if you have a question, give us a call, 901-260-5926. Even if you don't want to come on air, we'll take your question off air, and we'll make sure the guys reach out to you. You know, a lot of people, I think, in our audience have maybe a 401k or an IRA from maybe an old job. And there's really no plan to tie it together, because some people may have multiple plans out there. What should they do? What advice do you give those folks?
Well, I would say if you're somebody who's in that position where you know you had a retirement plan at a previous employer and you're working at a new place and contributing to the new plan, you've got a couple options. And it could be, let's move the old 401k to an IRA, which is an individual retirement account, which has got what we call open architecture. So the investment universe is wide open, and we sit down and ask you how you want to be allocated and come up with an investment strategy. Or it could be simply as if your new employer plan offers rollovers, you can move it into your new employer plan. So I always say when you make a career change or a big life event happens, just like when you go see your doctor, you go see a dentist, go see your financial professional and see, does this apply to me and what are my options?
We had last night on the show, my good friend Tracy Burns. She was at Fox Business forever, and she has a brand new book out called Deduct Everything, talking about your taxes. And and she said it's important for people to reach out to a professional, an expert. I'm getting around to the point here, but that because, for example, she said a lot of people may not be aware, but last year, if you purchased a brand new car, an American-made car, you can actually deduct a huge chunk of the price of that car. Many people may not be aware of that. So, again, that's why it's important to reach out to professionals like you guys at Strategic Financial Partners.
And one of the things that we recommend the most is to go and see your CPA, because we know in the investment world, and we know enough about the taxes to be dangerous. We always defer. Go see your CPA, because that's what they specialize in. You know, you wouldn't go to a podiatrist to ask about your heart. You know, and that's why we have certain specialties.
Well, it's a great point. We were talking with Tracy, and she also made another interesting point. For example, when they say no tax on tips, everybody thinks, oh, great, I don't have to declare my tips. Oh, no, you do. Yeah. You can deduct them, but you still have to declare. So she said that there's just so much, you know, so much information, which, again, is why it's so important for all of us to go and get help, and we need advice, which is why Adam is here and Chris are here every Wednesday. You know, I want to talk about risk tolerance. There's a great other horrible movie the kids should not watch. Casino. Remember Casino?
I love Casino.
Oh, my gosh. Remember the scene? There's a scene in the movie where Joe Pesci decides to go to the bank, and the bank guy was like, well, you know, there may be some risk here, and Pesci was like, I better not lose any money,
yeah.
You know, but a lot of people are afraid, you know, that's a big thing is, you know, they maybe are risk intolerant.
That's right. And that's why we always, when I say we build a plan first and then we figure out the investment piece second, is in our conversations, we're going to ask you about what do you want to do in retirement, or what are we saving these dollars for? And what is that timeline? That timeline is the most important piece, because we have to know when we need to scale back the risk to avoid a sell-off and we lose a lot of what we saved for. So that conversation helps us build the foundation for your plan, and then we put an investment strategy in place that matches what you're trying to accomplish. So that whole one-size-fits-all, it can't be possible if we're talking to 10 different people, because it's like a game of telephone. It starts with one thing and it ends with a totally different thing. So 10 different people, they're going to have 10 different solves that we need to come up with.
How often should you, you know, go back and look at things, or maybe, you know, adjust what your strategy is?
Well, just like the tax we were talking about earlier, every year, same time of year, it's the tax deadline. It's the time to go see your CPA. Think about it the same way with your financial advisor. No doubt every year, this time of year, I'm going to go and talk to him, regardless if you have anything to talk about or not. We will. We will go over and say, this is how you performed over the last year. This is what you incurred in the way of fees. And if there's any pressing things that we see just from the market standpoint, we may say, hey, you're getting 5 years away from that retirement date. I think now would be a good time to transition from being aggressive to being more moderate or moderate conservative, just so that we add a layer of downside protection.
Adam Martin is a financial advisor with Strategic Financial Partners. Their website address, folks, strategicfinancialpartners.com. Our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Somebody's probably right now at lunch, and they're at Pochangles, Whataburger, I don't know, great restaurants, and they're thinking, you know, I don't have a strategy here. I just have accounts.
Yeah, that's unfortunately more common than most, and that's okay. Having accounts is a good problem to have, and it's not too late. Go speak with somebody, whether it's us or whether it's a professional in your area that you're close to or you know about. Just get organized. That's what it all boils down to, is have a plan, because when we see volatility like we've had here recently, I mean, the markets have had a little bit of turbulence lately. It's those people that just have the accounts that are panicking and saying, sell, 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 instead of, hey, I have a plan. We talked about we would see some turbulence like this, and let's just hold. Let's hold the line, because what goes down goes back up. Those people have more of a tranquil vibe to them whenever it comes to their finances, because they planned proactively.
I love that. And again, strategicfinancialpartners.com. So you got, I mean, we've got people listening to us all over the nation, and you guys can take those calls.
We can. Yeah, we can be licensed in any state. Determining on, you know, what we have to do. So if that's just investing, we could get a securities license. If it's an insurance solve, we can get an insurance license. But that's why we're here, Todd. I want to help as many people come up with a plan and feel confident about their future.
I love that. And folks, you need to go and check them out. They're the good guys, and they are very, very effective at what they do. StrategicFinancialPartners.com. Be sure to ask for Adam Martin, a financial advisor. I want you to write down Adam's number, 901-260-2438. That's 901-260-2438. All right, Adam, good to see you, my friend.
It's great seeing you.
How are your brackets?
I didn't even fill one out. I'm a Memphis Tiger fan. We weren't in it, so I had no involvement in the NCAA tournament.
Tennessee Vols fan right here.
Well, they unfortunately didn't make it to the Final Four yet again, and I'm sorry.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Thank you for that, Adam.
Yeah, my condolences.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, California, Gavin Newsom, man, are they, you know, if you think the fraud is bad in Minneapolis, what's happening in California? They haven't even begun to really do a deep dive into the amount of fraud, but I want you to listen to this Fox News report. So they found out that just one building allegedly housed nearly 200 hospice and healthcare companies. You can't make this up. Take a listen.
The building looks like that supposedly houses 197 different hospice and healthcare companies.
That's California lawmaker Ali Macedo investigating suspected hospice fraud in LA.
I did not see a single person coming in or out of the building.
Neither did we in January.
Lots of offices, but no people.
Three floors, no employees or patients. Yet look at the dozens of providers licensed at this one address. 5 years ago, state auditors flagged this location for potential fraud. They say they found non-working phones, locked doors, and stolen Medicare numbers.
In LA County, California, 89 hospice companies are registered to a single address.
Republican lawmakers on Capitol Hill say California's weak oversight helped perpetuate fraud, a charge Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom denies.
We've been very aggressive as it relates to going after the fraud and abuse.
He also says hospice fraud involving Medicare falls under federal jurisdiction. Well, that's misleading. State law says California is responsible for licensing, inspecting, and investigating hospice complaints, and can deny, suspend, or revoke licenses.
This problem is on his hands, and he's refusing to put in rules and regulations
that lawmakers mandated take effect by January this year, including better background checks, a ban on multiple hospices sharing a single office, more comprehensive on-site inspections, and face-to-face meetings before awarding a license. We asked Newsom why his administration missed the deadline.
We've eliminated over 280 licenses. We've been on this since late 2021.
So what the governor does not say is the sweeping reforms that auditors want have largely not been imposed. And L.A. County still has 1,500 more hospices, Dana, than New York and Florida combined, including 500 in a three-mile radius. Makes no sense. And they're billing Medicare double the national average.
Wow. There you go. And this is the fraud that, folks, again, we have got to get a handle on this. And if we do, you're going to, heck, we may not even have to have an income tax if we can expose all of the fraud. Dylan, I want to do another trivia question.
Ooh.
This is a tough one.
I'm ready. The last one was tough for me.
It was tough. Can you name the very first sitting president to attend an oral argument at the U.S. Supreme Court? You know, President Trump was there earlier today. Can you name the first sitting president to attend an oral argument at the U.S. Supreme Court?
Are you going to give options for this one?
No. No.
Okay. Are you telling me a lot of people know this answer?
They should.
Okay.
901-260-5926 if you know the answer. The first sitting president to attend an oral argument at the U.S. Supreme Court. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, did you ever use a typewriter?
No. A keyboard, you mean?
Well, they were called typewriters, uh-huh. And they weren't attached to a computer back when I was in school. You actually had to take a typing class.
I do like how they sound. It's like a vintage thing.
Click, 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 yes. Click. Yeah, yeah. So an Ivy League teacher is at Cornell University is now making students peck away at manual typewriters. This is great. This no screens, no online dictionaries, no spell check, no delete keys. And you know why she's doing that? To fight against AI, the AI work, you know, the ChatGPT.
Interesting.
That's why. It's a brilliant strategy.
I guess so. You know what's funny? They actually make keyboards now that sound like typewriters. That's how far we're going back.
Jeez, that's terrible. All right. Professor Matthias Phelps, a German language instructor, started this in 2023, frustrated by the fact that students were using AI and online translation platforms to churn out grammatically perfect assignments. And so anyway, the professor said she wanted students to understand what writing, thinking, and classrooms were like before everything turned digital. I love this idea. They're calling it an analog assignment. That's brilliant. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Let's go to John in Georgia, which is like our trivia capital of the show. John, how are you today?
Great, Todd. You're a great American. How you doing?
Well, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. We're going to try to see if you can't win a prize here. Can you tell us the very first president in American history to attend an oral argument at the U.S. Supreme Court?
I think that would be Donald Trump.
Yes, you are correct. John, did you have to look that one up, or did you know that, John?
Well, I've been hearing it all day that he was the first one. So
that's right. Donald Trump, making American history today, became the first sitting president to attend an oral argument at the U.S. Supreme Court. No April Fool's joke. Mm-hmm. How about that? Sat there on the front row.
That's pretty cool.
All right. John, we're going to hook you up with a copy of The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again, so don't go anywhere. Congratulations. Wow, see, Dylan, I told you that's a great trivia question.
I feel dumb. Maybe I just haven't been listening to your show. I feel like you've said it at least once already.
You got to listen, man.
I do.
You got to listen. Yeah. All right, folks, it's been a lot of fun today. We've got to get out of here tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern. We're going to be looking at whatever the president's going to tell the nation tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern. Also, Artemis 2 blasting off to the moon. That's at 6 o'clock. Busy, busy news day, which is why you need to listen to the radio. Get out there and have a great one, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, noon o'clock, right here on the Todd Stern Show.